This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's a busy time in Baltimore sports, and when we have a busy time, there is nobody we want to talk to about it more as we head out to the Winter Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Then the good doctor, Jerry Aloysius Coleman, MD, who joins us courtesy.
Fresh off a nap, too. We get Aloysius off a nap.
So he is
all
resting.
His synapses firing.
Yes. And Jerry, thank you as always for joining us. We'll let you tell us all about the podcast in a moment. But your thoughts. What's that?
I will dictate. Yes. What we talk about
the podcast. The Ravens dictated when they would release Justin Tucker, and they made that decision to do it yesterday. Just your thought on the timing and the statement.
Caught me by surprise because I really thought it was coming up right into Memorial Day weekend or right before that, but I knew they had the OTA coming up on May the 27th, so something had to be done before then. And I was surprised again at the timing, wasn't surprised at the decision because I've been saying all along that he was toast ever since, you know, the Baltimore Banner, and I believe the Baltimore Banner alerted the Baltimore Ravens about this situation. I don't believe the Ravens knew too much about it. Speaking with the people inside the building, different levels inside the building, I don't believe they knew about it until the Banner alerted them, but they finally did the right thing. Did they go about it the right way with that statement? I don't know who wrote that statement. I tried to reach someone over there, and no one wanted to talk, but I didn't like the wording with that statement, just like I didn't like the wording with Coach Harbaugh on Sunday saying it was strictly a football decision when we all know that's not the case. It seems like a case of CYA from their perspective because, you know, as Jason's pointed out and everyone else, the guy hasn't kicked since January, and he hasn't gotten any worse since then, but a lot has transpired since then and not good.
Jerry, you've covered this team for forever, and Justin Tucker, prior to all this, was one of the most beloved players in franchise history, despite being a kicker because of his big personality. That being said, what's happened has happened. Do you still think one day he ends up getting in the Ring of Honor?
I would say as of right now, no. If you ask me today, no. But obviously things change, and you know things evolve. We don't know. I think Jason mentioned this, who will own the team probably by the time he comes up for consideration for that. So a lot will
You're a good listener,
between
Jerry.
Now and then.
P1.
Also from the perspective that I don't know if this story is completely written.
Right.
Yet. You know, I mean, we haven't even heard the NFL's version, whatever that is. I'll tell you what, you know who would have hated this guy more than anyone as a teammate?
The Looper?
And that is the late great Tony Siragusa. The Goose hated kickers, especially cocky kickers. Justin Tucker would have qualified for that. He gave Matt Stover a hard time. I can't imagine the time that he would have given Justin Tucker for the shenanigans that he tried to pull. Not only, you know, when we heard what we heard, but I just found the guy to be very, very arrogant the last couple of years, you know, walking around as the GOAT and all that.
Yeah.
Some sort of entitlement.
By the way, congrats to Jerry. And I forgive me, I can't remember who it was, but the last time he invoked the late great, that person wasn't dead. So
he got this one right.
Yeah, he got this one right. But rest in peace, Tony Saragosa. Ken, what's that?
Tell me how it was, Ken.
Say again?
I think he's asking you in his own way. Who was it that he declared dead? That he killed?
I don't remember, but it happened. You called someone the late great.
I'm sure someone who listened to the morning show back in the day, I'm sure remembers, because it was more than one person that I killed.
Well, you kind of led me to where I wanted to go. I don't think Justin Tucker would have been particularly hospitable to the Looper, mm-mm. Do you? How do you think that would have played out, Jer?
No, I think he would not have been his mentor, that's for sure. Maybe he would show him where the great massage places
are. Oh, geez. Wow. That's not where I thought we were going.
I don't know how else he could be of assistance. The guy is here to take his job. So why would you want those two, roasting marshmallows, talking football, whatever, together? I mean, it would just be an awkward situation for this kid. So to have him out of the building, I think, was also part of the equation. And, we kept hearing Justin Tucker's in the building. Yeah, he was probably in the building collecting his belongings. He was in the building meeting with the team, probably realizing that this announcement was coming. I'm sure they tipped him off. So that's what I figure the type of meetings they were. I mean, if he was in the building kicking, I would have been surprised. We never really heard that.
Do you think we're going to hear from Tucker? Do we think we're going to get another statement from Tucker? Is he going to go all cancel culture, or will he lay low and think that will help him get an opportunity somewhere at some time for obviously a whole lot less money than he's used to making?
Well, I think we will eventually hear from him. But don't all of you think that the next step is to hear from the National Football League, which
yes,
I think we're about to hear from?
But I don't know that they're in a rush. I don't know that they're in a rush to clarify his status.
It's kind of bizarre that it's dragged out this long, but I figured with Raj in D.C. yesterday and getting that out of the way, maybe today he'd find time to get this NFL investigation released, because the Ravens said all along they were waiting for it. And that's the other question everyone has. How come you didn't wait for the investigation before making this announcement? And I think only that they knew that this announcement was pending and they just wanted to get ahead of it. That's what I would suspect. I'm waiting for this announcement to come out at, 5:55 today?
Really?
4:55. 4:55.
Oh, because yesterday.
We're going to hear it for
a while. He's implying because yesterday's announcement came at 4:55.
Yeah, yeah. It'll probably be Friday or the Friday heading into Memorial Day weekend, which we thought was with the Tucker announcement. That's when the NFL probably drops that type of trash. But I would suspect it is coming soon.
Talking with Jerry Coleman's Inside Access here on the Fan. Jerry, I was told that you had some thoughts on the NBA playoffs. So,
and LeBron.
Yeah, so I will give you the floor on that.
The Thunder covering some alternate
the last
lines.
The last time I was on, somebody on the show was trying to glorify this guy. And I don't get LeFraud being glorified in any setting when this guy is 2-12 in his last 14 playoff series. He's provided plenty of intelligence and information as to how lame he is. This guy gets a new coaches from Darvin Ham to his podcast partner. They make trades to accommodate him, and yet he is never, ever accountable. He's had a bad knee this year. That's the latest excuse. Yet all his fanboys slobber all over him. And it's embarrassing at this point. He might as well just hang it up and retire, but no, you think he's going to go out quietly?
No.
He's going out with a farewell tour, and hopefully that's coming up, and his kid will leave with him. I don't see his kid being a part of the Lakers organization after he leaves, but his kid should be embarrassed for his dad the way he played in that series. Especially at the critical moments of the fourth quarter. If I was his son, I would move out of the house.
Disown him, Jerry.
How many 41-year-olds have dominated the NBA playoffs? I'm just wondering what I'm missing in NBA history, because you're a historian.
NBA playoffs, he didn't make it out of the first round. I wouldn't say he had a dominating series either. He disappeared the last two games in the fourth quarter.
Well, because the guy played him the entire second half at age 40 in one of those games. Like, you're blaming him and not Redick or Luka?
LeFraud.
You're blaming the 42-year-old or whatever?
Okay. Well, who brought those two in?
I mean,
you just mentioned Redick and Luka. Who brought those two in? Who's responsible for those two? Along with
Pelinka.
GF,
right?
Pelinka made the trade, right?
Yeah, Pelinka.
Right. Who brought him in?
I guess Jeannie Buss.
Who owns the Lakers? Does LeBron own the Lakers?
You really think it's Jeannie Buss? come on. If you think it's Jeannie Buss, I got a bus to sell you.
So you think LeBron runs the Lakers?
Is it a party bus?
Absolutely, he runs
the
Lakers.
Does he own the Lakers?
How do you think his kid made it in the NBA? Who else was going to take him?
His kid was in the G League most of the year, man.
He doesn't belong in the National Basketball Association wearing a uniform or sitting on a bench. His father provided him that opportunity, along with a job for J.J. Redick. Who else was going to hire J.J. Redick to be a coach?
Well, Jerry, let's end with a feel-good.
Five for the entire second half. That's an indictment. You're right. That is an indictment on J.J. Redick, but it falls on the guy that hired him. His name is LeBron James.
Let's end with a feel-good moment for this segment.
Everything Jerry's
feel-good. What's going on with the podcast?
My Twitter handle.
What's going on with the podcast, Jerry? Who's the latest guest? What's going on at Camden Yards? Give us the lowdown.
All right, well, we got the latest episode out with the new Orioles chief marketing officer, Mark Fine. And again, we're on YouTube at Be More Ball Pod. Mm-hmm. Be More Ball Pod. When you follow us, you do qualify for that $50 Lido Pizza gift card.
Yes.
Ken Wyman has set a record by obtaining that gift card and utilizing it the fastest.
Bordy was on this air an hour ago saying you don't give him any.
Yeah.
Who was?
Bordy.
Bordy. Your co-host.
Your better half.
He's not enjoying the game of life.
If he says that again on the air, I am going to implode.
We're
going to
break you two kids
up. That I owe you one, Jason.
You do.
I
mean, you promised me one.
To every one of his 11 children. I'm sorry. I can't get one for his entire family.
Bordy has 11 kids.
Bordy's busy.
I thought he had 11 goats. Like I didn't know about 11 kids.
He's got a good amount of kids.
Every week he comes to me and asks me for three or four.
Man's trying to feed his family.
Yeah.
Hey,
he needs square pizza. What are you thinking, Coleman? He needs square pizza to feed his kids.
He lives with a bunch of rabbits. But on the latest episode with Mark Fine, who is the new chief marketing officer of the Orioles, we talk about, you know, how he landed the job in the warehouse and some of the noticeable changes. I don't know if you guys have noticed some of the changes you hear and see when you go out to Oriole Park at Camden Yards. I'm not talking about no free soda. I'm talking about the constant music that's blaring out there right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't be going out until some changes are made, so you're asking the wrong guy here.
Yeah, Jason's boycotted.
You mean on the field or off the field?
I got a financial jihad going against them.
I think it's a combo.
Until they change their front office.
The Orioles have become his Berhalter.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah. Berhalter.
Yeah. Exactly right. I'm not spending any money on the U.S. Soccer Federation either.
Yeah. Oh, really? New coach? You're not there?
They waited too long. It's a joke. They're cooked.
Oh, come on.
I'm disappointed.
No. I need to save my money anyway.
What are you boycotting? Let me keep a list here.
I think you've got a podcast guest here.
It's Orioles and U.S. Soccer Federation. That's it.
Okay. So the Ravens are fine now that they've cut Justin Tucker.
Yeah, I take my kid. We go to one or two games a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think they'll have a buyback for Justin Tucker jerseys?
I do not.
Jerry, it was a football decision. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's true.
He wasn't
father
good.
Time.
That's
it was father time.
Jerry,
had nothing to do with the Baltimore Banner.
I know that my poor sister is now stuck with a Ray Rice and Justin Tucker jersey that she was looking to exchange. And I love Ray Rice. I want to say that right now. Ray Rice is a good guy.
Yeah.
He's walked the walk.
Justin Tucker's the other guy.
Justin, Jerry, I will see you at Lido Pizza in the near future.
Stay away from the Looper. Don't corrupt the Looper.
If I miss what I said in terms of promoting the podcast, you can always rewind that on the Odyssey app, where also you can find our podcast, by the way.
Nice.
Podcast.
But it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Be More Ball Pod. And again, you subscribe right now. We're keeping track. And you show us evidence. You qualify.
Your time is up, Jerry. Yeah.
The podcast is Aloysius and the late, great Mike Bordick. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry. Jerry, don't browbeat the Looper. Let that kid live.
Yeah, we got to go get to T-Bone time. Jerry, we'll talk to you soon. T-Bone time. TMI with TAM. What you got?
Well, we're going to hear some of the best cuts from Mike Elias, who was on the Big Bad Morning Show this morning. Talking in a much different tone about Charlie Morton, came to Brandon Hyde's defense, and he also said something interesting about Jackson Holliday going up against left-handed starters moving forward. We'll play it for you next.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, I want to let you know real quick, Mark Viviano is joining us at 4:30, Matt Stover at 5, and former Raider exec Amy Trask at 5:30. But it's T-Bone time, and the floor is yours.
Busy, busy show. Mike Elias, he was on the Big Bad Morning Show this morning, and last we heard from Brandon Hyde following Sunday's loss to the Royals, where he inserted Charlie Morton into the eighth inning when the O's were trailing by two runs. He said, hey, he's going to continue to get opportunities. He's got to. Well, Mike Elias weighed in on Charlie Morton.
Well, it's definitely been problematic. I mean, we brought him in to stabilize the rotation with his veteran experience. And you just look at his statistics and his stuff. And, you know, he's been great for the Braves the last 4 years. He's been super consistent, super durable. And he's got good stuff this year. He's just not getting anybody out, and it's been a huge problem. So, you know, we can't keep doing the same thing. So we've moved him to the bullpen, and, you know, right now he's one of our options in the organization for that role. But, you know, we're going to keep working with him, and I think his stuff and track record suggests that he's better than this, but it's certainly been one of the big factors for us getting off to this really disappointing start.
Definitely a much different tone from Mike Elias. Saying it's a big reason why they're off to the slow start, calling it problematic, all of that, and yes, working in the good.
I would
of
say
the
not signing someone like Nate Eovaldi is a big reason.
We were on that early.
It hasn't worked out. I would say not taking a flyer on Nick Pivetta could be a reason why it hasn't worked out.
Stop hoarding prospects and trade for Garrett Crochet.
That could be a big reason why Charlie Morton hasn't worked out.
Yeah.
Brandon Hyde, his job security very much up in the air, but here's Mike Elias defending his skipper.
Yeah, this is not something that the manager is impacting on the team. I think we've got a rotation that's ranking towards the bottom of MLB right now. I don't think that's going to be the case forever, but we've started off with really bad starting pitching. We've got guys on the IL. We do have, you know, hitters that are frustratingly underperforming right now in a lineup that's just not clicking the way it's got to be. And I think that's something that we've got to figure out internally, and we're doing that. But, you know, right now this is an issue of
Matt Holliday to work
pitching
with
well night to night, and not being healthy enough, and then not getting our guys to click. So it's really on the whole organization. Obviously, that starts with me, and we're working on it.
They haven't been good since June 20th of last year, so you can spin it any way you want. I saw it coming.
Yeah,
you did. You called it.
In the hot pavement.
With no voice.
Yeah, no voice at all following
and
that blowout.
It is what it is, and you got more youthful, and you got less experienced, and you let a top three switch hitting power hitter in the game leave for less money than you thought he was going to get because you wanted to prove that all your kids were the answer.
Well, lastly, one of those kids, Jackson Holliday, also talks about Heston Kerstad in this next clip. Something that's been very frustrating for us, a lot of the fan base, is the lineups against left-handed pitching, where you don't see Jackson Holliday, you don't see a lot of the Orioles lefties.
Platoons, Bone.
They slow play Gunnar Henderson at the beginning of his career. Here's Mike Elias on all of that.
Yeah, I've certainly been aware of kind of the fan rumblings, the conversation around this, and I can understand it because our team's not hitting and our lineup's not clicking. You kind of look for reasons. Baseball. There is no hiding from the fact that same-handed hitters against same-handed pitchers have a tougher time. And you'll notice when you're watching our games, when Gunner's up in a big spot, they'll bring in a left-handed pitcher to face them.
Yeah.
And you'll see other teams platoon their lineups. Platoon means put in a righty against the lefty or vice versa. Like, this is something that's going on all around the league. Now, when you have a young guy, Holliday is a good example. Kerstad's a good example. We believe in them very highly. They're high draft picks. They're going to have the ability to emerge in the stars and be able to hit against both sides of the plate, kind of like we've seen from Gunnar Henderson. Mm-hmm. But that's a little bit of a process. And step one is you hit better and better against right-handed pitching first. And I think we're starting to see that from Jackson. You'll start to see him sprinkled in there against lefties more. It's a little bit of a gradual process, but this is not something that we're making up that it's harder for those guys to hit against lefties, especially early in their career. So we're aware of it, but this is, you know, it's part of the game today. And, you know, it's all around the sport.
Got it all figured out. It's all. If you want to quibble with a 179, 261, 240 slash line against lefties, then shame on you. Like, if you think having a 501 OPS against lefties and the next worst team is at 551 and the league average is 667 and you think we might possibly be doing it wrong to have that 501 OPS, then shame on you, because we're Wizards and Warlocks and you're not.
Yeah. And also, Ben made a great point earlier, the reverse splits. Yeah. None of that was mentioned.
It only matters when it matters.
Yeah, it matters when it matters.
Yeah. What was that the other day? They wouldn't bring a pitcher in. They could reverse splits. Hey, don't get me started. Anyhow, coming up next.
Thanks, Mike.
Mark Viviano covered Justin Tucker's entire career. He is now no longer a Baltimore Raven. We'll get Viv's thoughts next here on The Fan. And joining us now... Now retired, a man who broke the news that the Ravens were moving to Baltimore, who covered Justin Tucker's basically his whole career. It's Mark Viviano. And Viv, thank you as always for joining us.
Well, he was good.
Yeah.
The entire good part of his career.
Yeah, the good part. So just your reaction to the news yesterday that they released him, and did you have a reaction to the statement itself, Viv?
Well, I'm not surprised that they released him, given the track that the story was on. You know, the team had said that they were awaiting the investigation. Clearly, the statement suggested that this was all about football. I think we could all soberly say this was more about, not just about football, but there were all the other factors that entered into this. That's human nature. I get that. I think I shared with you guys before when the allegations first came out that, you know, my mind goes to the fact that Justin has a 9-year-old son who's the same age as mine, my 9-year-old son. And that's what I think about. I think about what the impact is on a family when things of this nature transpire, and especially kids, wives, you name it. And that is not to, you know, I haven't even addressed those who were, who have spoken of being victims in this case too. All of that is kind of where, you know, what I think about. You know, Justin Tucker, you know, we all know he was an opera singer, and there are many tragic operas, and I imagine he sang a few of those, and this kind of falls into the category of the Greek tragedy where the exalted hero brings himself down. You know, it can happen because of age and performance in sports. It can happen because of behavior or poor decisions, but either way, it's I describe it as a sad story, just as somebody who I got to know Justin professionally. We sat down for lots of interviews, had a lot of conversations about being a dad, being a father. I'm just sorry to see his time in Baltimore, which otherwise would have been remembered as great, less so now given the circumstances.
Well, Viv, for Justin Tucker, at least from a football standpoint, considering he's coming off the worst year of his career and the investigation still ongoing, do you expect him to kick again in the NFL?
I do. I do. And there's so much more that we will, know about this as investigations are made public, the results of the investigations are made public, whatever comments or statements he releases. There's so much to learn about this, but I can only think of the number of situations where players have been involved in. I mean, obviously, most recent and most comparable would be Deshaun Watson, who not only continued in his career, but received the biggest guaranteed contract in league history. So based on that, I would think, I would think that he would. It sounds crazy to say that just after he was released and the circumstances behind it. But just looking at the history of these things, I think we should anticipate that he probably would, unless, you know, he is so completely unable professionally and physically to kick footballs. I don't think that's the case. Or unless there is something about these allegations that comes out that makes it even worse than Deshaun Watson's situation. Otherwise, yeah, I see him kicking again.
It was pretty clear that this, you know, if they're going to be full-throated behind someone else kicking for them, then you probably need to give that person ample space and sort of a cord to get adjusted to the organization and not have to deal, you know, have, you know, Loop dealing with this directly with the media and maybe with Tucker and with teammates. So they've alleviated that. But how difficult do you think it will be for that young man? Because he is replacing maybe the greatest kicker in NFL history. And for as much as we all know that the last 2 years Tucker was in decline, and last year he was awful. He's made so many big kicks here, and we tend to remember the good more than the bad. How tough do you think it is to be the guy who steps in to replace the guy?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think that's reality. No matter how Justin Tucker exited, this was going to be the guy who replaced Cal Ripken on the infield or Ray Lewis at middle linebacker, because he was the greatest ever. So no matter the circumstances by which the next guy comes in to take that job, it's hard, because you'll always be the guy who was the next guy after the great guy. Add to it, as you did, the layer of story as to why. You know, kickers have to be, and we've all interviewed and talked to kickers, there is something that is so incredibly mental about that particular job. The pressure that's involved, the moments that they have to overcome and perform. I think they're pretty, you know, the best of them are well suited for it. And if that is another trial by fire for a young kicker to come into and have to deal with it, so be it. That just might be another way for him to show how resilient, focused, whatever he is or is not. And it may cause him to not be at his best. It was going to be hard either way, Jason, I think.
Talking with Mark Viviano, it's Inside Access here on The Fan. Viv, a year ago at this time, Justin Tucker was a lock to be in the Ravens Ring of Honor one day, probably a lock to be in the Hall of Fame. Are those things still true in your opinion?
Yeah, again, there's more that we would need to know to really flesh out the detail, the extent. Let's face it, you know, there are unsavory actors in lots of halls of fame. I can't say. I don't know. I understand the question, because in the media, we like to bandy about questions as they refer to legacies and things, but these things have to play out. Again, I think he's still going to play football. That's just my feeling based on what I've seen. So we'll see. But I don't have a strong sense. You know, I will say this: having in the last year gotten to know Ray Rice on a personal level and working with Ray Rice and knowing what he went through, how he reacted to it, the redemption that he was able to, you know, he is a redemption story.
Yes.
It's possible. It can be done. It's not easy. It takes a lot of, you got to give up a lot of whatever hubris you may have and say, and Ray has, Ray did, and Ray does, and he is focused on helping others avoid what his mistake was. Maybe we don't know what Justin's going to do in that regard, but that plays a part in how you look at somebody and how they move forward and others' opinions of him then become.
Viv, before I let you go, anything you want to promote?
Yeah, May the 19th, so that's less than 2 weeks away, is the Baltimore Fellowship of Christian Athletes Gala. I'll be speaking at that BaltimoreFCA.org. Get a ticket. I'd love to see you guys come out there. Anybody listening, please come. And I'll be checking in with you guys between now and June. But coming up in the middle of June for Casey Cares, oh. I'm on the advisory board with Casey Cares. We are setting up a small audience meet and greet, question and answer with Ravens general manager Eric DaCosta.
Nice.
All to benefit Casey Cares. I'll look forward to sharing more with you about that upcoming, guys. Thank you for the chance to talk about it.
No worries. We're happy to do it. Viv, thank you as always for your time.
You got it, boys. Be well. Talk to you again.
Coming up next. By the way, Jason, you can get a ticket for that and ask Eric a question.
Big? Yeah. That's big.
I could. So could you.
I may.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might go if you go. I might go anyway.
Yeah,
if you go.
Say, I would, yeah. I would go. If you want to go, I would just say go.
Coming up next. Tyler Loop is his name. We're calling him the Looper.
Is it walking distance from my couch?
Probably not. Yeah.
Probably not.
What if it's in Towson?
Yeah.
That's why I'm asking.
Be. Yeah. Man. It's
where he had that damn party. Forget about it. that was no chance.
Maple Lawn?
No chance. Mark's like, what are you doing? Yeah. You've only been gone 30 seconds. Yeah. I got in the car and put that address in Waze. Said, no chance. Yeah.
Coming up next, are we confident in Tyler Loop? We'll tell you next here on The Fan.
Yeah, I watched the tape with Randy. Took me through it. Randy saw him in person also. We looked through all the guys, and he's good. I mean, he's a talented guy. He's strong. And he's very consistent with his leg swing. I think he's one of these guys who's a kicking nerd. You like to see that. I mean, he's really into every detail and technique. And he studied Justin a lot, you know, and a lot of other guys too. And he studied our operation. So I know he's excited too.
So that's John Harbaugh over the weekend talking about Tyler Loop, who it's now his job to lose.
The Looper.
Kicker of the, yes, we call him the Looper here, and it's his job to lose as kicker of the Ravens. They've made it very clear, and he implied it right after he was drafted. He was their choice. Like, they, even though he was the second kicker taken, Tyler Loop was their Randy Brown's choice. That was the guy they wanted. They got him, and now it's his gig. So how confident are you in the Looper, Jason?
Well, I just think we need to be clear that he's not coming in to replace, as we just talked about with Viv, peak Tucker. He's coming in to replace a guy who, let's go beyond just last year. Let's look at the last two seasons. Yeah. And this guy kicking in 34 games, okay, among all qualified kickers, 54 of 67 overall field goals, 80.6 field goal percentage. That's 27th in the NFL, okay? 27th of all qualified kickers the last 2 years in overall field goal percentage. When you filter for 50 or more, he's 34th. There's only two qualified kickers worse than Justin Tucker in field goal percentage over 50% the last 2 years. Austin Seibert, 40%. Riley Patterson, don't even know him.
Yeah.
40%.
Detroit for a minute.
Tucker, 34th at 43.8%. We know their days of shortening the field so that Tucker could try it from 50 or longer from anywhere are long gone. So he wasn't that field shifting, you know, force multiplier, to use EDC's term,
yes,
that he used to be, and how they called the game. And so we've got to get our mind's eye around the fact that this, and not everybody's going to take the league by storm like Justin Tucker did. Most kickers have more of a career arc of fits and starts. A lot of these kids have to be cut first before they really kind of see the light. So can Looper stay around all year, make it through his rookie season on this team, be their kicker every single week, and be better than the 27th to 30th kicker in the league? If he can, he will have been better than Justin Tucker, because he'd also be doing it at a fraction of the price.
Yeah, it's a much lower bar when you talk about it from that perspective. But you mentioned Justin Tucker as a rookie. He was 30 of 33. He kicked a game-winning field goal in Denver in the divisional round in double overtime.
It was like 48
yards. And went on to be maybe the greatest kicker ever.
Yes. Absolutely. But I think when you're talking about Loop, something that no one knows until we see him do it, what's this guy going to look like fourth quarter, game on the line in Heinz Field? or aperture, whatever the hell it's called. Those pressure situations in the NFL must have moments.
And when's he going to yell at Jordan Stout for the first time?
Yeah.
Because we're like, that's, it's said in his profile. Yeah,
NFL.com.
Yeah, NFL.com.
I want him to be fired. Hey, Tucker is not a shrinking violet.
No, he
and
is
even
not.
Early in his career was not a shrinking violet.
I can't recall him yelling at a holder. Well, I was Sam Cook for the majority.
And as Jeff Zrebeck told us earlier in the show, he projected confidence as a tryout kicker his rookie year.
Yes.
Like something that they caught him as a little
He was a freak show. Like, again, might be the best to ever do that and might stay at the top of that mountain from a kicking perspective for a long time. So we've got to give this the looper a little bit of grace here and understand that they're pretty good at identifying these kids, and his growth sort of parabola is probably going to be different than Tucker's.
I do, yeah. It's not...
It's always one or two.
Parabola.
It's parabola, not parabola.
Right.
And yeah. Parabola.
No, you nailed it.
Yeah,
it was good.
Thank you. It was good.
I needed that affirmation.
Speaking of perspective, a guy with an interesting perspective. Yes, he is. Jay-Z, he'll be on it.
Tune in.
Matt Stover has an interesting perspective. He's kicked for the Ravens. He knows how hard the job is. We'll get his thoughts on the Justin Tucker release and how hard a gig it's going to be for Tyler Loop to replace Justin Tucker. We'll ask Matt Stover next here on The Fan.